Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your hosts, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. A beautiful spring weekend for all of us. It's Mike and Carmen with you, and we got a ton to talk about, even though the college basketball tournament has ended. UConn champs again. We roll into the final regular season weekend of the NBA. The Bulls locked into that play-in spot again, just like last year. We'll talk about that if we're excited or not. But really, first and foremost, we have Masters weekend, Mike, and that is what we're going to spend a lot of time talking about today, my friend.
My friend, it's good to talk to you, Carm. Good to talk to our producer, Eric Ostrowski. Are you kidding me? The Masters has been fun. Scottie Scheffler's outstanding. Oh. DeChambeau gets off to a great start. We'll see what happens today with him. Nobody talking about him like maybe it was a fluke. Nobody saying that Scheffler could sink. But, you know, I just saw, for instance, you'll read today, folks, later on, Jordan Spieth has been crapping the bed. He's he had a 9 on 15.
79 for round one.
Oof. And I basically have been against everything that he's been doing on the course. Carmen knows this. I brought it up for 2 years, talking about him and his caddy. Now there's talk that he maybe should change teams. He should have done it already. I think he's got a lot of yes men around him. I think they agree with what he wants to do. I don't know what happened to his game. He has not been the guy that I thought he was going to be when he first broke in. And it can't be good when one-legged Tiger Woods is beating you.
Right.
As far as he's got a shot at making the cut, which would make it 24 straight years. But Scheffler yesterday, I'm watching him. He chipped one in from the sand. He isn't intimidated by anybody. They tell me he walks into the locker room knowing he is the king. So it's really a weird dynamic with the LIV golfers now. I've said this all along. The 54-hole format will go against them. I know that DeChambeau made me look bad saying that, except for the other guys. They made me look right. Their competitive edge. Rom, to me, looks like a different man. To give an example today, Carm, Scheffler is playing him in matchup golf.
Mm.
He's minus 175 against Rom. That would never have happened.
Wow. Yeah, minus 175.
I mean, it's like Rom's a hobo. Mm. And he's not. He's a great player, but they're saying two guys have lost the edge. He hasn't won on the LIV Tour this year. And they say that him and Dustin Johnson, who's plus 6 going into the second round, lost the fire in the belly.
Yeah, that could be. DJ had not played well, obviously. You mentioned,
and he wasn't a guy that would play and practice. He wasn't one of those guys. He was a guy that chilled and then would come out and play. They had all that natural ability. I'm not saying he didn't practice, but he's not a grinding type of guy.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny when you talk about Spieth. Like, Spieth,
unbelievable.
I mean, 2015, you know, won the Masters, won the U.S. Open that year. He finished second
that
year.
Played great at the British Open.
At the PGA, right. He's won an Open Championship. But when you think, I guess it just goes to show you how incredible Tiger's dominance was, because it lasted so long. Like, Rory hasn't won a major, Mike, in 10 years. I mean, you've said it all the time. What has happened to Spieth's game? Like, not that these guys haven't been great golfers. They have been, obviously. And Rory still plays at a pretty high competitive level. But it just really goes to show you what Tiger was able to rip off for that 10 or 12-year run. It's just incredible.
And now they're, you know, now that Tiger's sort of out of the picture, I mean, look, I look at Bovada, and then I call my guy. And I bet the matchups, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Watson was minus 130 against Tiger. I'm looking at it. Tiger bogeys 18 in the first round. This morning, Bovada took him off, took the matchup off. So they don't even know. Hmm. I think they're feeling he can't finish.
You know, he's got to play 23 holes today because he got caught up in the late
round. And we don't know what's going to happen. We're taping early.
Right. We are. We're recording the show. We're not sure yet. Tiger has not gone off. The second round has just started because they had to finish up because of the weather delay yesterday. Tiger did look like he was hurting a little bit on those last couple. And now he's got to play another 18 holes.
I tweeted out on North to North. It looks like the joy's come out of his face. He looks like he never sleeps. He looks like he was out with me in the 90s. I mean, this guy, he looks exhausted. I mean, really, it's unbelievable. Doesn't he look? And he looks so much older now. And
he does.
And
he does.
See, yeah, the pain, the agony that he's got to go through. And yeah. Everybody's played hurt at one point or another, except today's NBA players. But I got to tell you, it's just I love Tiger more now. For
yeah,
he's playing on one leg, and yes. I'm gonna confess something, folks. And I don't confess much, believe me. I'm going to say this right now. I said Tiger was never going to beat Nicklaus for the 18 majors. I will tell you this. If he hadn't sabotaged his own golf career, the way he's playing now leads me to believe he would have had more than 18 majors
yeah.
throughout his 40s.
But it was that little period in between that derailed him for a couple of years. Yeah. Well, you're right. Not so little.
You at the golf club. It's not a good
night. So little. That's true. Bryson shoots 65 to open up this tournament.
Right.
He historically hasn't played all that well. So I'm interested to see
Molly Howard calls him Barry Bonds for some reason. I'm just saying.
I think I know why. Best finish at Augusta ever for Bryson. Tied for 21st in 2016. He's missed the cut at the last two. Yeah. He just hasn't really factored
he
in this tournament.
He never played a good game there until yesterday.
I mean, I'm fascinated to see like how this goes today in round two. We'll talk about this with Luke in a few minutes. Luke Pergandy. Bryson, you could have had some longer odds and sitting there at a -7 right now atop the leaderboard. That's got to look good. Mike mentioned Scottie Scheffler. I mean, we're not surprised by anything impressive this guy does. If he could putt, he'd never lose. He's the best ball striker, and I don't even know if it's close on tour right now, Mike. It's incredible.
I love how he swings, and you know what? Wherever his follow-through is, the ball goes that line. It's unbelievable. He's just an absolute – he wants to win every match. I heard Nicklaus yesterday. I was watching the Golf Channel, and – oh, by the way, I just would like the Masters to be on full time.
We talk about this every year. We agree on this.
I am so sick and tired.
I
what's
am too.
Next? It's like having the Super Bowl on Peacock, which might be coming in the first half, and then showing it on free TV in the second half.
It's annoying, and
it's absolutely disgraceful.
Just like put it on somewhere.
It's your number one. You want to promote? And by the way, folks, I can promise you this. It's Friday night. Okay, September. I don't care about the Philadelphia Eagles playing in Brazil and going to Peacock for $5 on a Friday night. I don't. Cubs are playing Yankees. Plenty going on. I'll wait till Sunday. I don't know how you – I know, Carm, you love it. We're not going out for dinner tonight, B.
Right.
The Eagles
are out. I wouldn't either. You're right. If, like, somebody said, we've got dinner plans, you're right. I wouldn't be like, oh, no, I've got to watch the Eagles and the Packers.
At
some point, we all love the NFL. I mean, Mike and I love it as much as anybody.
We all love it so much, okay? And they're ruining it.
But, like, what are we doing? I mean, like, this the same thing with the Christmas Day games this year. Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
What we need two but NFL games on a Wednesday? Can the NBA just, like, have a day? I mean, what are we doing?
You know what? My nephew married a girl from Brazil. Wonderful lady. Great. Smart as hell. She lives here. She doesn't know why they're going there. There are 20% of the country is rapidly economically poor. And I just don't get it. I don't understand what the motivation is. Are you going to sell merchandise in Brazil? Come on.
And to play a Friday night game?
And an opener of the league?
I know, like the second game
Shameful.
Of the season. It is.
Shameful.
It's like, I don't know. I just like, part of me is like, what exactly are you trying to accomplish? Like,
I have no idea what they think you're trying to do. Those people will be going back. They'll be at the beach in Rio de Janeiro the next day. They could care less. And it's touristy. They want people to – it's a deal cut with Brazil. You know that.
I guess.
But why not put it on free TV?
Oh, and that's the other thing that's annoying.
Right?
I know. And I get it.
And
that's the wave of the future.
And Peacock is going to shove it up everybody's butt this year. I'm telling you, folks.
I get it. Like, that's kind of like where this is going, I guess. Well,
but
like,
I don't
streaming.
Get it. Why?
I don't know.
They make so much money. They are so greedy. They're so pathetic. You're going to Brazil for the Philadelphia Eagle home opener?
We
have lost our way as a country in more ways than one.
Have they ever? I don't know what the motivation is.
How did they establish that it's Philadelphia's home game? Because Lurie wanted it?
I guess.
My God.
Yeah, they have they ever played a game in the Southern Hemisphere? Will this be the first ever NFL game?
Is that a band? What's a is that a band
that's
from Tennessee?
That's the garage band from when I was in high school.
I was in a band that played the tambourine. I'm going to get you now was our big hit. We finished 50th on the Billboard.
We got a lot to talk about today, folks. NBA final weekend, as I mentioned. There's some interesting jockeying for position that still could happen. The Bulls, with the win last night, did lock into playing the home game. You had the over. Nice.
God bless.
There you go. The Bulls are locked into playing that home game next week against Atlanta. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Jim Miller's got ponies later on. We'll find a best bet or two for everybody. We were good again last week. So coming up next, Luke Pergandy's going to join us, and we'll talk Masters with him and how you should be buying, selling tickets, and how you should roll into round two and then the rest of the weekend at Augusta. So don't go anywhere, folks. We are just getting warmed up. We're just getting started for you on this weekend episode. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
You're listening to The Odds Couple
with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco with you every week. And just listen on demand, of course. Make sure you've got that ESPN Chicago app. You can catch up on any interviews you missed on any of the shows, all the original podcasting and content that lives there, like our show, The Odds Couple, and many others. It is great, great stuff. Time to bring in one of our weekly contributors. We love talking to him. Chicago's very own and one of the founding members of the PropSwap app and PropSwap.com. It is Luke Pergandy.
Oh, you're my
guy. Hi, Colin. Hi, Mike.
What's up, Luke?
Big weekend, Masters. You know, Mike and I were talking about DeChambeau. He's never really played all that well around this golf course, but the 65 yesterday was impressive. His best ever finish is T21, tied for 21st back in 2016, Luke. And missed the cut the last 2 years. And because of all that, the odds were longer. And if you had the foresight to buy one of those tickets, now's probably a good time to get that bad boy posted, even though he's atop the leaderboard, I would think.
Yes, I agree with you. He is plus 550 relative to who else? Scotty Scheffler, as always.
Always.
He is plus 130. This guy is just playing out of his mind golf in the last 3 years. So, that's going to drag. That's going to harm the odds on all these other golfers the way Scotty keeps playing. So, yet again, it's if you're going to sell your ticket, unfortunately, with the way Scotty keeps playing, like if he runs away with it, it's going to quickly decrease the value on all these other guys. Max Homa looked great. Max Homa looked amazing yesterday. California kid, root for cool to see Americans doing well in the Masters. And then Rory's still kind of flat. He's around 14-1. You open it, I want to say around 8-1. So a small downtick with him. And then Cam Young was a big mover. He's down to about 15-1. He opened at about 50-1. So those are probably the two biggest, Bryson and Cam Young so far.
Yeah, Spieth doesn't look like he's ever played before the way he's playing. It was horrible. Rory, I've had it with him. I told you guys last week. He just has three bogeys yesterday. That's with all his talent. Something's wrong there. But I'm looking at Tiger. Just before our taping, I told Carmen, Luke, and I know that there's probably a lot of action on Tiger, but Bovada had Bubba in matchup golf against him at minus 130. And I go, I'm going to jump on Bubba because Tiger's starting to limp and everything. And then they took him off. So I got to tell you, the Tiger action, as much and as great as it's been, if Tiger was to pull out this time of the Masters because of injury, I'm not saying he's going to. What does that do to his future market? What does that do to him? Are we playing like the Joe Louis, I'm 42-year-old heavyweight champ, I'm going to make an appearance at these events, and that's it?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Like, does it even move? Does he even move the market much anymore? That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. So you're asking on Tiger Woods' odds for the next major, the next tournament, what happens
Absolutely.
To his odds for the next one if he WDs today?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean... Anyone else, I'd say it probably harms it. It's kind of like the Cubs or the Yankees in baseball or like the Chiefs in football. Like, he's just always going to get action. So, therefore, if a golfer team's always going to get action, the sports books aren't going to hang really long odds on him. I don't know. I mean, he obviously needs to win one more to tie Jack Nicklaus. So, I do think there's still motivation for him to do well at this tournament.
He could set the record for all-time cuts made 24. If he gets through these next. Now, we talked about this.
I hope he does.
Because of the delay yesterday, he got caught up in you know, the darkness last night. He's got to play 23 holes of golf today around that golf course in his physical condition. Who knows? But I'm with Mike. I'm kind of hoping he does. He could set the all-time record for consecutive cuts made if he can get through today.
Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, that's an incredible
stat. Would be 24 cuts.
It'd be 24 straight cuts, yes, at Augusta.
Wow. Yeah, so there's the motivation for this guy.
Yes.
This weekend and beyond. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, like, everyone's just rooting for the guy, and then we just kind of blindly keep rooting for it, even though he's bogeying. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. It's one of the few things in sports. Like, oh, he'll figure it out. He bogeys three in a row. No, we just keep rooting for him. So it's a phenomenon in golf.
I get what you were saying about Scottie Scheffler being so dominant these days, too, and you know how it kind of affects the market, how it affects what you guys do, but people's ability to kind of buy and sell. Because, you know, like if for whatever reason, let's say yesterday Scheffler struggled, or he just, you know, Scottie Scheffler wasn't just throwing darts constantly around. I told Mike if he could putt, he'd never lose. You know, it does dramatically shift the value of other golfers. Like, and I think I got your point. Like, DeChambeau, if it weren't for Scheffler, goes from, you know, 35-1 pre-tournament down to 3-1 at -7, maybe. Is that what you meant?
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what I mean. Because his odds are so low, all the value of these tickets or the odds on all these other golfers are higher.
Yeah, I got it.
Because the books are like, well, my gosh, like, Scottie Scheffler's almost even money just a day into the tournament. We're going to hike the odds on all these other golfers because we're just going to get so much action on Scheffler. So, therefore, if you're trying to play the futures game and trying to make money on these guys, now it's a good time to buy those other golfers, but just be aware that if Scheffler has another incredible Friday, like the value of those all those other guys is just going to go down because all these books are scared that Scheffler's going to win.
Let's talk real quick some hoops. I said to Carmen last week I had a live dog for him to win the Eastern Conference, and it was the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I know the Celtics have already clinched, but the Celtics the last two games, especially the Knicks, I guess took them apart last night. How do you view Philadelphia with Embiid back? I saw them play Miami and do a number on them the other day, Luke, with Maxey, with no Harden, which I think is a cancer gone. A team that's like seventh seed right now. How do you view the 76ers now that Embiid's back? You got Giannis hurt, Boston struggling. I think they're higher than 9-1 like they were last week, Carm. I think they might be 12-1 now to win the Eastern Conference or even higher. Do you see that, Luke, or do you think that Boston right now just taking a little bit of a break, nothing to really play for, and then they're going to get ready?
Yeah, so to win the East, first question number one, who do I think is going to win the East? I think the Celtics are going to win the East. I don't see them blowing this. They're -170 to win the East. But in terms of, you know, until Tatum can kind of prove this, and I love Jason Tatum. I think he's an incredible basketball player, really good leader, like great teammate. Like,
Only 25 years old.
And, you know, him and Joel Embiid, like, they just haven't got over the hump yet. So it's kind of one of those bets where, like, pick your poison there to win the East. Like, is one of these guys finally going to do it and kind of push their team and win the NBA Finals? So, I mean, the Sixers are 20-1 to win the NBA Finals. I think
that ain't
going to
happen. I'm more about the East because I think Denver's going to beat them. I had the parlay. I wanted UConn and Denver. That was a parlay that I can't beat.
And Embiid and Jokic always go back and forth with each other. Like, that's a great matchup. If a ton of stuff has to happen right for both teams to get there. But the East is going to be rough. You got to go through, you know, like we just discussed, Boston, and that's no joke, and Giannis. So it's going to be a gauntlet to get there. But I don't know. If both those two teams can pull it off, I think the Sixers have a shot.
At least
again, long road, but
a long road, but at least the payoff's better. I mean, the Celtics are such a heavy favorite to come out of the East. You're at minus money now for the Celtics. Mike, you're right. You're anywhere. Anywhere from, I'm looking as low as 8-1 to DraftKings has 10-1. Bet365 has 8-1. FanDuel's got 8-1. So, yeah, anywhere from about 8 to 10 to 1.
They win the first round. Now, all of a sudden, you go to prop swap.
Sure, absolutely.
To bet on the Celtics to win the championship, they have plus 175.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy. They're down to less than 2-1. It is. It's pretty crazy. The Nuggets are about 3-1.
That's a great value pick right now. I totally agree with that.
The Sixers.
Embiid's incredible. I used to live in New Jersey, and they're in southern New Jersey, roots for Philadelphia sports. I lived there for 4 years, starting props up and expanding it east. And, like, Embiid is one of the coolest players I've ever seen play basketball. He's just great. And he started in, like, eighth grade.
He's just so naturally
talented at athletics. He is just, his free throw is amazing. Like, he's just one of those guys that did his head and shoulders more talented above everyone else on the court. So I like it. I think that's a good dart to throw out at 21, if anything,
to have a little bit of to have some nice plus money on, you know, maybe a team that could navigate the East. I think that's the one. Like, I don't see Miami doing it this year.
No, me neither.
After what they did last year, the Sixers could they could still get out of the play-in too.
They got some dogs at guard. You got Embiid at center.
Yeah, Maxey's great.
Maxey's unbelievable. Yeah. Harden is gone. He's sitting the other night laughing as they're losing. I just can't believe that guy's still even. The teams still want him. And what's great about this is that I look at Boston's team, and if Tatum or Brown, one of them has a bad night, who picks up the slack?
Yeah, I mean, Porzingis and Holiday maybe, but like.
I like him. And Holiday, congratulations. Yeah. Everything that he's got was Milwaukee's fault.
The Sixers have a pretty interesting game tonight against the Magic because a win would give them the same record, but the tiebreaker. Now, like, the Indy could still clinch six, but like. Philly's actually got a path if they win these last two. I think Philly still has a path to get out of the play-in. So.
I don't trust Indy. I don't know why.
I don't either. I don't think they can stop anybody. I don't trust Indy either. Yeah.
But it'll be
There's
200-1.
Some interesting jockeying that could happen in these last couple of games this weekend, for the seeding out west and for the play-in tournament in both the East and Western conferences. Luke, enjoy the rest of the weekend and the rest of the Masters, buddy. We'll catch up next Friday, okay?
Okay, thanks, guys. You too.
See you, buddy.
Props.
There's our guy, Luke Pregandy, on the
Live Dog, Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not even a big fan of theirs.
Yeah.
But come on.
But, like, if there's anybody in the East, like
That's
I said, I'm with you. I think Julius Randle injury kind of sinks the Knicks. I love Jalen Brunson, but I don't think it's the Knicks. I don't think Miami's doing what it did last year. I like Indy, but I kind of am with you, Mike. I don't totally trust it. Halliburton hasn't been quite the same, in the second half of the season. I think he's nursed that hamstring injury.
They beat bad teams. I watched Halliburton go off about 2 weeks ago, but they were playing like Atlanta or somebody,
Yeah, with this Giannis injury now, like who knows how much that is a problem. Like if there's anybody in the East other than Boston, I think you pick the team.
The whole Boston. I know Porzingis is decent. But he always has a dog game. I see those two guards. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't see the rest of the complement, getting together. And I just see Philadelphia's overall team. And then Embiid the other night comes back, and I'm looking at him, and it's like he never skipped a beat. And
he played great two nights ago. Yeah, or three nights ago.
Yeah.
He was on Tuesday, I guess that was, right? He was great. All right, coming up next, a little bit more NBA stuff actually rolling into this last weekend. We'll look ahead at that Bulls-Hawks matchup next week. We got best plays for you later on. We got Jim Miller with ponies. A lot more to do, folks, so don't go anywhere. We are the Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Chicago radio legend Mike North and midday host Carmen DeFalco. The Odds Couple
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco with you each and every week. Follow us on Twitter. Mike is at North to North. That's the number two. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. We were just talking NBA with Luke Pregandy. We roll into this final weekend. Bulls have locked in the 9 spot. They will host the Hawks in the 9-10 play-in game next Wednesday. If the Bulls win that game, they'll play the loser of the 7-8 game. Bulls took 2 of 3 from the Hawks in the regular season. Trae Young played in two of the games, both of the games that the Bulls won. He is back. Atlanta went 12-11 straight up without him. Hawks have now lost four straight, but the Bulls will be hosting that game. I do believe that's next Wednesday at the UC.
Yeah,
and
well,
what do you think about a 3-4 point favorite maybe in that game?
Know,
is that
what
the Bulls are going to be?
About the play-in game? I don't even want to tell you what I think about the play. 16 teams that usually make the playoffs 1-8. That's 16 out of 30. And the Bulls may be under 500. In fact, I think they will be.
They will. They're 38-42. They will be.
How the hell do you – nobody, absolutely nobody should even have an opportunity to make the playoffs if you're under 500.
Yeah.
That's just despicable. The play-in games, I'm not for them at all. It's a participation trophy. It's a joke. But as a gambler, you know, I happen to think that it should be a picket game. I mean, you're giving Atlanta 4 points. Trae Young's feeling good, right? I don't think
some people think they play better without Trae Young, as good as he is.
Well, you know, and the Bulls play better without LaVine.
That seems to be the case this year, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The White Sox play better without Mancada. I mean, they've won two in a row. I mean, you know, certain guys just can't click with their teams. And I gave Mancadas because now they're starting to win some ball games. I look at the Bulls. And I say to myself, I watched DeRozan the other night. I watched Vuk. I watched Kobe. They're not playing bad basketball, but that alley-oop play, the fact that Donovan's name before Mark Pope was listed as a Kentucky coach, I thought was laughable until I find out, really, Donovan doesn't have a whole lot of power in that organization. He really doesn't. It's like he's babysitting those guys. Otherwise, why would there even be a play like that in an actual game?
It's so silly.
Right?
It was so silly.
It was so sad. Somebody called it on TV. I think somebody on ESPN. The poorest highlight of the year was the Bulls.
That's a leading candidate for the number one Shaqt and a Fool play of the year. That's
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ugly.
So I'm not a fan of that. I think 16 teams is plenty. It's all greed by the owners. Extra game for the gamblers.
That's what it is. It's an extra couple of games.
I'm not going to cry about it. I mean, Eric the other day, I talked to Eric yesterday by text. I don't know if you can talk by text. I go, hey, you know, what time tomorrow? He tells me what time and everything. He goes, boy, the week went fast. I go, too fast. He goes, not fast enough for me. Well, yeah, he's a young guy. Oh, he's a young guy. I won't even see the new Bears Stadium.
Yes,
I mean, I just said the other day, it seems like I saw Casino 2 years ago. It's since 1995.
It's 30 years old.
It's 30 years old.
It's crazy.
Time's flying. They're showing Cuckoo's Nest on TCM. Time's flying. I don't like it like that.
I mean, Cuckoo's Nest is 50 years old at this
point.
Can
you believe
it? Think about it. It's crazy.
So I'm saying that I'll never see the new stadium.
You will. Don't worry.
No. You think it's going to happen in 2031? Huh?
I would think before their lease is up, they're out of there. Yes, I do. I would think that.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you. I went
wherever it's going to be, whether it's Arlington or South Lot.
I went by that Arlington site. It's so perfect. There's highways all over the place. It's away from everything for the most part. It's right where the racetrack was at, and if you didn't go down certain streets, you never knew it was there. It's just so perfect. I just don't believe it. But you know what? Stranger things have happened. But Eric, when you're, I'll check back with you in 30, 40
years.
There
you go.
It's going fast.
Mike had the Sixers as that little dark horse. If you want like a slightly longer shot to come out of the East, like if I were going to pick a team in the West, I love the way Dallas has played. I don't think anybody other than Denver's coming out of there. But
since they called him fat, number one defense in the league lately.
Kyrie's just, you know, kept his head down and played awesome basketball.
Somebody
there's been really no distraction. Luka's incredible. I like the trades they made at the deadline.
I go, nah, Shaq and Kobe maybe, but best scoring duo, those two.
Oh, the best scoring duo? Oh, yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
They're going to be close.
I know Shaq and Kobe would be
close. Shaq and Kobe's got to be up there. You're right.
Yeah. I'm saying to myself, I go, look, I love Luka. I mean, Luka looks like a dock worker. You know what I mean?
He does.
I don't want to sound like J.J. Redick, but my God, he looks like he's got the double chin like I do. You know, he's got the little flap, and he just whips everybody's tail like it's nobody's business. But then I watched the Joker the other night, and it was against Minnesota. It wasn't even, it was a contest, but I never thought they were going to lose. You ever get that, like the 85 Bears. I never think Denver's going to lose at the end, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're just, the other night is a perfect example.
Are we looking at him? Shouldn't he should be gone. This is unbelievable, folks. I think he would have a case to go for his fourth straight MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be out of Jordan territory.
Yeah, there's not many guys that have ever ripped off 3 out of 4 the way he's done it. You know, Jordan did it. I think LeBron did it.
This one here, I think he still gets the edge over Doncic. I do, only because of the seed, but you're right. And then the defensive player of the year, I know people are crying about Wembanyama, and I agree. I thought the kid wouldn't be this good. I thought he was overhyped. But I'm watching him the other night. He blocked like 10 shots or something. I'm going, this is ridiculous. He's the best defensive player in the game, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he have the team around him like Gobert does with the wings defensively that Minnesota has?
Minnesota's wings defensively are fantastic.
Absolutely.
They're fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. He has some help. Tell me the other guys on San Antonio.
I'm like
he's
in love
by himself.
With him. I'm in love with him. I can't believe how good he is and how good he's going to be. I mean, if
they showed the difference, I think it was the Bulls. Somebody driving on Gobert, and he did.
Yeah.
They showed another guy drive the same guy driving on Wembanyama.
On Wemby.
And he went around the block.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be
back out.
That's what I'd be doing.
Take the layup.
That's what I'd be doing. You've totally piqued my interest too about like.
Love when I pique your interest.
Like the
what is it? An anniversary?
No, best scoring duos. Like, I mean, I'm thinking.
Go look for it, kid.
Yeah, I'll try to find it because I think that's interesting.
Like
Luka and Kyrie are at what 60 points
Shaq,
a game or 60 points a game this year?
See, Jordan, I always laugh about Pippen and all this because Pippen never.
Yeah, because Pip's high watermark with Jordan was probably somewhere around 20.
20.
Right? Yeah. But like,
so at least 53, though, 52 if Michael averaged 32 alone in the playoffs.
Right. I don't know, like Elgin Baylor and Jerry West maybe at some point.
I think Durant and Steph.
Durant
that
and Steph.
One.
But would you guys agree it's close?
Oh, God,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think those guys, like Kyrie and Luka, are more pure scorers than KD is, for example. Like, it's close.
Maybe more than. I don't know. Maybe
it's
more
there. Those two are lethal.
Yeah,
they're
up there. They're incredible, and they've played great basketball here. I mean, they really have. So if I were going to take a dark horse in the West, the way you called the Sixers, I'd be looking at the Mavs right now.
Do you think it's going to come true to form? Do you think Denver's
going
to?
I do.
Boston?
I think Denver's going back. I think it's going to be Denver, Boston.
So we think it's basically. Here's what we're looking at this year, folks. UConn, South Carolina, and by the way, great job by Caitlin Clark and that whole crew over there, and South Carolina. You're looking at all chalk. UConn, Denver, South Carolina women's team, the Boston
Celtics
if they win the East.
Yeah.
It's all chalk now.
Pretty chalky. After a couple years where we saw some craziness. Yeah.
We won't see it in baseball.
Baseball, it gets nuts. Like you had Arizona for crying out loud in the World Series,
The guy that made $300,000 I'm hearing now is allowed to bet $40 million with the bookmakers, so that's just good. And yet I hear he imitated Ohtani on the phone.
They have a recording of it.
So they thought it was Ohtani, so they took the bets.
Yes.
So apparently Ohtani might have done it before.
It's a pretty wild story.
I've heard it all now. I mean, there's all sorts of bank stuff, IRS stuff,
they're up to like $40 million.
Oh, how you doing? How you doing, Shohei? We thought it was going to be your interpreter, but it's good to talk to you again.
It's unbelievable.
I can't believe they're admitting that.
It's unbelievable. coming up next, we'll give you some best plays. We'll get Jim Miller up here with some ponies for the weekend, too. So don't go anywhere, folks. We are coming right back, and we are the Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
During the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Before we get you our best plays, let's get some of the best horse racing bets for the weekend. And there's nobody better than the expert handicapper over at Hawthorne Racecourse. You follow him on X at Hawthorne Gym, and he joins us every week for some expert handicapping. He joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline. It's Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
Boys, it's going to be a beautiful weekend for racing. 70 degrees.
Gorgeous.
Sunny skies. 1 week from the Illinois Derby, 3 weeks from the Kentucky Derby, so there's a lot going on. And guys, we're going to have parties at all of our different OTB locations, tents set up, live music, food and beverage service, but reservations are requested for a lot of these locations. But hey, it's coming up on us very, very quickly.
Yeah, just a few weeks away. It's incredible. And we got the field. I think we know what that field's going to look like, right, Jimmy, after last weekend?
Yeah. Everybody that's going to be in, that wants to be in, will be. And the thing that's interesting is, remember last year we had a whole lot of defections like the week of the Derby. So far, everybody that's earned points is healthy. So that's a good thing. You're going to have 20 entered. You'll probably end up with upwards of 24 entered in the race just in case there's scratches. But there's really not a huge standout either. Fairness, the horse that won the Florida Derby, is probably the horse that'll be the favorite.
Okay.
But I'm going to be looking when we get to the week of the Derby for some big prices, and I think there is a lot of value in this year's field.
I just think 25 horses is too many. I don't know if horses can get claustrophobic. I was once in a crowd, a big crowd, and I was in the middle of it. I said, get me out of here. You know what I mean? But I think 25 seems like too many, but I know they've had them before. But let me ask you this, Jimmy. Do you think 25 is too many? And let me ask you about the number of starts, the least number of starts of all time. It used to be back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you'd see the starts on these horses. They'd have a lot more, it seemed like, than they do now. There's been some horses have had six starts, seven starts, and they've gotten in. What would you say is the fewest amount of starts you ever saw from a real good horse in the Kentucky Derby?
I think three would justify going into the Kentucky Derby was the number. And it's one of those things where it definitely has changed. It used to be that your two-year-old season was really important. You'd run basically every 3 or 4 weeks and then right into your three-year-old season. Mm-hmm. And it was just a whole different game at that point because the money was made on the racetrack. Now with the money made in the breeding shed, it's almost like you're pointing for those big races. You kind of get that black type out of the stake races. And then you go off and make all the money in the breeding shed. But you're right, Mike. I mean, you look at it. It's a gate of 20 horses for the Kentucky Derby. You're going to have that full field. And this is the only time they're ever going to run against this many horses. And I think it's the reason that oftentimes luck kind of comes in for who gets trip for the Kentucky Derby. Think about Mind That Bird skimming the rail.
Yeah.
This is a horse that never would have won a race probably in a 9 or 10 horse field because it wouldn't be the same pace.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of how things unfold. But it is one of the things that makes it probably the marquee race it is. It makes it the greatest 2 minutes in sport.
Yeah, that's right. And this is the 150th running of the Derby this spring. It's going to be pretty cool. All right, Jimmy, so a beautiful weekend, like you said, for everybody here in Chicago. Thoroughbred racing happening. Are we sticking at the hometown track? Where are we going this weekend?
We are home cooking for all three. We got huge fields on Saturday, so we want everybody to come out and focus on the races at Hawthorne. So we're going to bet these three horses across the board at Hawthorne on Saturday. So starting race number three, bet the three, Mo Smoking across the board. This one comes in from the fairgrounds. Then go to race six, bet the eight, Whole Lot of Loot across the board, a horse that has a lot of speed. And then race 10, another fairground shipper, race eight, bet the 10, Cascade Cruiser across the board, and we'll see if we can make some money.
Got it. All right, so all three races Saturday at Hawthorne, folks. Couple thoroughbreds coming up from fairgrounds. So race three, the three horse across the board. Race six, the eight horse across the board. Race eight, the 10 horse across the board. Is that right?
That's right. Let's get ready for a big Masters weekend, guys.
All right, enjoy it, Jimmy. We'll talk to you later.
All right, got it. Good luck.
Jimmy!
There is Jim Miller from over at Hawthorne Racecourse. That's a lot. Well, and it's like, and some of that
is. They get blocked, some of these great horses. They're not used to running in these big fields. And now all of a sudden, like Jimmy said, some of these horses win that you're going, what?
They'll go from a full field of 20 to the Preakness, and there'll be six horses in it.
Six horses and five will be in there having coffee before they go out.
Yeah. As we get ready to give some best plays and just wrap this week's episode, we talked a lot of Masters early on in the show, especially with Luke Pergandy. It's a cool leaderboard right now. I mean, as Mike and I are taping here, they're just getting underway pretty much early on in round two because of the delay. You know, a lot of golfers did have to go out Friday morning and finish round one. But right now, within the top 15 golfers, you've got golfers from, listen to this, the U.S., Denmark, England, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, South Korea, Chile, France, and South Africa. That's kind of amazing. What a leaderboard right now.
Yeah.
You know, as they're just getting underway with round two.
That's the type of sport.
Yeah.
Unlike football that has to go, that went into other countries and said, we have something here that will not only make you money, you could have your own golf courses, and you've seen it. I've seen golf grow over the time I first watched the Masters with my dad back in 58, 59. I mean, it was, you never heard of this. And I remember Jack Nicklaus, he went to play the Open. They took a boat. They took a ship. It took them a long time to even get there.
Crazy.
At first. So, you know, it was a new thing when Arnie Palmer went over there. Now you've seen how much it's grown. Got so much great talent all over the country. It's just been a sport that's done everything right except within their own membership.
Exactly. They got to figure that out at some point.
Except
they got to fix
their own
that.
Guys hate each other.
Yeah, I know.
They look. I'm surprised they all sat at the same table for the Masters dinner, which looks like a lot of fun. It really does.
Yeah.
But that had to be wild. I mean, you look at each other and say, wow. You know, they were once all compadres. I don't care about it either way. Do you?
No.
No, I just think it's the individual brand to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. But it's been interesting to see the LIV guys aren't doing as well, except, of course, Bryson DeChambeau, who yesterday
we'll,
was on.
We'll see if he can finish the deal this weekend and win his second major.
Kepka looks like a different guy, and Rahm looks like a different guy.
Yeah.
Period.
The defending champ is John Rahm. Let's roll into best plays. What are we liking for this weekend, Mike?
Well, Carm, you know me. I like to steer people the right way. It doesn't always happen that way. Last week, what were we? I think I went 1-2. I took Purdue plus 295. That was couch change. I couldn't root against them. They just didn't get it right. But I'm going to go with – I'm telling everybody, buy the Philadelphia 76ers right now.
Okay.
Like Carm said earlier, what are they, 800, 900?
You get about 8, 9 to 1 to win the East, yep.
Hey, you win the first one, the first round, and then you can go and sell it on Prop Swap or keep it and see what happens.
Yep.
So that's my first one, Carm. How about you?
I'm going to give out an NBA game for tonight.
Pels, I love tonight's NBA, Clark.
San Francisco, Pels and Warriors are playing. Both teams playing the second of a back-to-back. Both teams won on the road last night. Pelicans are still trying to avoid that play-in, obviously. They are the sixth seed now. They got a lot to play for. They are getting 4.5 tonight. New Orleans is 27-14 straight up on the road this season, and an NBA best 13-5-1 against the number as a road dog. Golden State hasn't played all that great at home, just 20-19 straight up, with a lot to play for here to try to avoid that 7-8 game. I'll say back to Pelicans on the road in San Francisco against the Warriors tonight, catching 4.5 points.
Yeah, and I also think that Scheffler at plus whatever, you still win $75 on every 100.
Oh, so yeah, plus 175.
Take him, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take him to win this thing, and then I'll bet live to try to make up if he's losing or something. I'll bet live to try to make up the deficit and stuff like that, Carp. So
nice.
That's the second one. How about you?
Excellent. That's it for me. One play for the NBA tonight. There you go.
Oh, baby. Okay. Hey, that sounds great. Now, without further ado, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Eric O's Betting Show.
All right. So,
I love it.
I don't know about you guys, but I like watching a fight when I have money on it. Makes it a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There is a UFC headlining. Like, there's a big fight this weekend, UFC 300. The headline fight is Pereira versus Hill. I tapped into our MMA expert over here, Adam Abdallah. And he told me to take Pereira on the money line at minus 140. So I'm going to drop some shekels on that, order the fight, and have some fun.
All right. Sounds good.
That's a real good pick. Pereira at plus 140, and he says take him, right?
Check out the Unnamed MMA podcast with Adam Abdallah and Jordan Sherwood. They do a great job. I mean, Jordan's one of the biggest market movers in the country when it comes to how he wagers on UFC. He's a true expert. So make sure you listen to that. Absolutely.
I also want to say I'm going to take Scheffler. I don't know if the pile will be up, but I'm telling everybody now. I'm taking Scheffler minus 175 over Rahm today. He doesn't tee off till about 12:35.
Okay, Scheffler over Rahm. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
All right, great show, boys. Thanks to Luke Pergandy, and thank you to Jim Miller, and thank you most importantly for listening. Enjoy the Masters, everybody, and we'll roll into NBA playoff talk more and more next week. But enjoy this beautiful weekend, and we'll see everybody next week on The Odds Couple.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.